This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is Thursday today, April the 14th. I hope you all have your taxes taken care of. I actually got mine taken care of last week before last. I pulled out the TurboTax program, got them all put together, put in there. I went to file it electronically, and it said, oh, you're not allowed to file electronically because this particular form has too many pages on it. It's like, oh, rats. So it's fine. I put them all in an envelope and slapped some postage on it. One of the nice things about running a little business from home is you get all set up with PayPal with a little merchant account. You can actually print postage at home. So that actually works out pretty well, because whenever I have a mailing I need to do, I can just toddle on downstairs and, you know, print the postage out, and away we go. But I did get that all mailed off last week before last, sometime in there. So I'm not really thinking about taxes at this point, aside from the fact that I may get audited. Had a lot of expenses, obviously, last year with Vaneworks Stand coming out, and so I actually declared a loss in that one business that I operate. This year I'll have a profit in it. Not a huge profit, but a profit nonetheless, so maybe the government will be okay with that. We'll see. I've got the receipts, so we'll see how that goes. It has been a good week. It really has been a lovely week. Worked hard this week. I'm getting closer to having the Windows 7 application all put together. Working on graphics, putting the finishing touches on those. I've been finishing up the recording. I'm actually going to have to hire out the recording for the one female voice that I'm going to do, but there is some amazing voice talent out there. There is this website called voices.com, and there are thousands of people doing voice overdub things, and really some wonderful voices, just incredible talent. I'm a little bit worried that once I hire out the female voice to do the voice on my little comeback builder application, that when I put my voices up against it, it's not going to sound very good. But that's okay. I don't necessarily want to spend the money to hire out all the male voices, so I'm doing them all myself. But I do have to get that hired out and get that put together here soon. Who knows? Couple of more weeks, maybe we'll have that under control. So that's been fun. It's been fun to work on that project and kind of see it finally shaping up and getting closer to actually being released. And this week, I've also been able to get some good work done at my major client. We've been able to accomplish a lot of things. I was supposed to have a big project plan done in a month, and I'm going to be a little long on it, but I had some interruptions and some time things that pulled me away, and my immediate boss there understands those things and had allowed me to be pulled away. So I think we're going to come in just about where we were talking about coming in. And so I think it's all gonna work out fine. The best part of my week, though, has been talking with friends. That usually is the best part of my week, just getting a chance to get together with friends and just talk. And without going into a lot of details, I did have a chance to talk to a friend this week whom I had talked to several days ago, who was very concerned about his son, and he was talking to me about that situation, and he as we were talking about it and he was expressing his concerns, I just encouraged him that I asked him, I said, so have you talked to him directly about this? Have you talked to your son directly about this? And He said, no, I haven't done that. And I said, you know, honestly, you should just really talk to him. And I talked to him about the technique that I have found to be very effective. If you have any kind of relationship at all with a person, and you think there's the possibility that there may be something in their life that's getting a hold of them and leading them to a place of failure, I've found that the absolute best tactic in those situations, if the opportunity presents itself, is to not come in and point fingers. We were talking last week about trying not to be a stumbling block, not to do things that just stir up the flesh in another person, but find ways to connect to the spirit. And love really has an amazing way of connecting to the spirit. Real, honest, true love expressed for a person, not sort of the fake disarming, but now I'm going to stick you with a knife type love. And so I talked to him about having a conversation with his son and beginning it with an honest appreciation of the gifts and abilities that his son has. And then, you know, raising some of his own concerns and then giving his son an opportunity to respond. And I said, one of the techniques that seems to work really well is just to make sure that the atmosphere is calm. Make sure that the atmosphere is quiet. And then say something like, do you believe this is the best that life has for you? Do you believe that this activity is going to put you on a path to success? And I said, it's really amazing that if you can get people quiet and ask them to realistically assess the activities that they're involved in and whether or not those activities are going to place them in a position of success, you'll find that people already know. They already know that the stuff that they're engaged in is not going to put them where they need to be. And really, if they need anything, what they need is for someone who is on their side to express to them that ultimately it doesn't matter what direction they take, that they're going to be loved, that they are going to be cared for, that they're not going to be ostracized, but that really all you want as a person who's talking to them about this is to see that there's an environment of success that is generated. And so I talked to him about all that, and several days had gone by. Well, this last weekend we had a chance to get together. And I said, so how'd that go? And I had asked him when we were setting up the appointment to come over. I said, so did you get a chance? He said, yeah. He said, we'll talk about it when you get here. I said, okay, great. So, you know, we'd gotten together, and I said, so how did that go? And he said, actually, it went really well. He said, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was concerned about turned out that I really didn't need to be concerned about it, that there were other mitigating circumstances that made it appear that something was that wasn't. But he had also had a chance in all of that to have a heart-to-heart conversation with his son about some issues that really needed to be discussed, and in the process was able to help his son understand more about the transitions he was making in life and the things that he was experiencing. I mean, all in all, it just sounded like it was a really good conversation, and it had a really good outcome. And I just walked away from that encounter going, yay, yay, here we go, good. a father has stepped up to his responsibility in kindness and love and generosity and has reached out to his child, and he had enough of a relationship with his child that his child understood that as they were having that conversation, that the father was looking for his good and not looking for evil. And that is a really great, great thing. I had a conversation with another friend a little later in the week. And we got to talking about a lot of different topics. But we had kind of circled back around and kind of talked about that idea some. And we were sharing about our own personal experiences and some of the things that we've been through. And at one point, you know, I expressed to him, okay, where are the fathers in all this? And honestly, I had a wonderful upbringing. I have a wonderful father, a wonderful mother who loved me and did their best to raise me well. But there were just some things that I could have really benefited having some good communication with my father about those things, and it just wasn't there. Now, thankfully, they had expressed their love for me in so many other ways that ultimately everything worked out fine. But it seems like I hear periodically, just heard about it this evening when I was talking to another buddy, about fathers and about parents now who just really don't care about their children. And it's so sad. The youth pastor at our church, I may have mentioned this before, but the youth pastor at our church, I was talking to he and his wife several Friday nights ago. And I was asking him specifically about one of the young ladies in the church who sits with her grandmother. And I could tell just from what tiny bit I've been around this young lady that she's in pain. And I had asked him about her, if she was doing okay, if she was, and he said, you know what's interesting is he said, basically all my kids are that way, all of them are that way, they're all in pain. He said they're all in situations where their parents don't care about them. None of their peers really care about them. He said they really have no one in their lives who really wants to be a part of their lives and to help them. And he said, when they come here, he said, you know, I do everything I can to kind of express my love for them and express my interest in them. He said, it's hard because they've grown up in this environment where there's just no one who is their champion. And I was just talking to a buddy tonight, and he was telling me about some of the people he's acquainted with, and about this one young man he knows that, you know, his father would just tell him that he hated him. And that's really a sad, sad thing. So fathers, I would encourage you today, tell your children that you love them. Be involved in your kids' lives. Do what you can to create an environment of success for them. You know, don't worry about whether or not they're going to make you proud. Be concerned more with what you can do to help them to become best that they can become. And not necessarily what they do, but what they are. I've continued to have conversations this week. Oops, got a little too far over on the road. That's what we call a segue. I have continued to have conversations this week about the basic principles in Love Wins, the Rob Bell book. And it's very interesting. Because I had one conversation with some friends this week where the wife was reading a book called Organic God, something like that. We're just talking about kind of stripping away all the non-essentials and getting back to the core. And I had mentioned Rob Bell's book to them. And they said, oh, we've heard about that. What'd you think about that? And so I was talking to them about the same things that I was talking about last week. And at one point, the wife asked me a question. And honestly, I answered before I understood what she was saying. The question she asked was, well, do you still believe that people need to say the sinner's prayer? And what I heard her say, do you still believe that people need to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And I said, oh, absolutely, I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. I said, but God is working in everybody, and He makes the decision when that happens. And it's not beyond the pale for me to believe that God waits until a person's last moments of life and then just says to them, do you want to come home with me? And they say yes, and that's good enough. But when we talk about just specifically the structure of the sinner's prayer, I think that's gotten to be just another one of those things that we've put a little check mark and said, oh, now you're in the club because you've said this little prayer. I was talking to a friend about this week. And we were talking about that, and I said, you know what I find fascinating? And I may have mentioned this before on the podcast as well. What I find fascinating is that we hone in on Paul and the Philippian jailer, where he comes out and he says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gives him a formula there. You know, believe in your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved in all your household. And we latch onto that formula and we say, okay, that's what you got to do. You know, we put it all into the proper syntax and tense, and then we give it to people to recite. But what's fascinating to me is that we don't talk much about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. For some reason, we don't crystallize that and put it on a card and hand it around to everybody who wants to know how to come into eternal life. Can you imagine what the reactions would be if on our placards and on our websites we said, this is how you achieve eternal life. You have to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. We don't necessarily want to tell people to do that. I'm getting my mail. You know, we would rather... Oh! I had a bit of irony over the weekend, and I think this it is. I will tell you about my bit of irony in a moment. We don't like to rehearse that formula, even though it just came from Jesus. We would rather rehearse the formula that makes it easier for us. All we have to do is a little lip service, and then we're in the club. So, lots of good conversations this week. I finished up just now with a friend, and he's in a situation where he had gotten involved with a lot of different people about some doctrinal discussions and all that kind of stuff, and so I just let him talk and talk and talk and talk. And then I said, so do you want to hear my opinion on all this? And he said, yeah, that's why I'm telling it to you. I said, okay, here we go. And I related stuff about the Rob Bell's book and about my philosophies. And by the time we got all said and done, related the philosophies over the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, we need to love people. And that's what the conversation that I had earlier with the husband and wife over this. At the end of it, she said, I'm backing into my garage, so I'm going to start talking louder. At the end of it, she said, so what you're saying is we don't necessarily need to go out and evangelize the world. We just need to love people and be in relationship with people. And God will take care of the rest. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. If we go out and just love people, get one-on-one relationships with them, live our lives before them, everything's going to turn out okay. It will be just fine. Because God will be at work in them, He's at work in us, He's at work in our relationship, and everything will be fine. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to tell you my ironic story or not, because I'm already home, and I do have a few things that I do need to get to. So I think I'll just stop here. This is like a big cliffhanger. Yeah, right. So I will tell you my ironic story that gave me cause for great amusement, although it is going to cost me some money and it is going to cost me some time, but it did deeply amuse me. I will tell you that story next week. For now, it has been a good week. God has been loving and kind. I've had a chance to share with friends. I have had a chance to see positive, positive impacts in my friends. In fact, as my buddy and I were leaving the restaurant today, he paused and said, I really needed to hear this. And I said, good. And just before we climbed into our cars, he thanked me again, said, you know, thank you. I said, you're very welcome, man. See, that to me is a good week. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.